Welcome to Financial Freedom, God's Way. This is where you are going to continue to learn, apply, and to pass on Bible-based financial principles and applications so that you and your family will not only just survive, but thrive even during these very, very uncertain times. Hi, and welcome again, everyone. This is Bob Lauder from Christian Financial Ministries, and it is an absolute joy and an honor to have you with us again. It really is. Now, what's on our schedule for our 30-minute time together today? Well, first of all, during our radio seminar, we're going to take a close look at the sixth piece of God's spiritual financial armor, which is the sword of the Spirit. It is the Word of God. But listen, we're going to discover how this Word of God differs from the Logos Word of God, which is the belt of truth. Remember, the written Word of God, the Bible. Then during our Q&A time together, we're going to take a look a bit, just a little bit, about using other people's money. Have you ever heard that? Using OPM, other people's money. We'll talk about it. Clark Hart is going to share with us some good information as to how to keep our grocery bills down. And finally, well, during our Minute with Maxwell, John Maxwell is going to share with us his thoughts on the word thought. Okay? So stay tuned, won't you? It's going to be a great time together. And as we start, let me open us up with a word of prayer. Father God, I thank you for meeting with us again today. Please continue to give us ears to hear all that it is you have planned for us to hear. To your glory, in Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Now, recall that during our radio seminar segment times together that we've been digging deep into what the Apostle Paul has to teach us about God's spiritual armor, which can be directly applied to our personal finances, okay? And we saw that according to the Bible, every financial problem you have ever had was not really a problem. It was a symptom. You see, finances are never the problem. Finances are a symptom. The problem is spiritual. And when we deal with the problem, the spiritual problem, the financial symptoms, well, they seem to fly away. And what is one of the best ways to deal with spiritual problems? Well, you need to learn how to pick up and to put on God's spiritual armor, starting with the belt of truth, his belt of truth, which is the Bible. You see, when you put on God's belt of truth, when you prayerfully determine to make the Bible a priority in your life, well, then you are starting to get dressed for financial warfare. But Paul tells us that there is more to God's armor than just the Bible. You see, the Bible, well, it is a great starting place, but there is so much more. There is also, for example, there is also God's breastplate of righteousness. You see, God helps prepare you for battle with the absolute assurance that you are right with him because of who you are in Christ Jesus. Then you discover that, listen, before you head out into spiritual financial battles, you need to make sure you have on your shoes of peace. And recall, that would be the peace of God. That would be the peace that surpasses all understanding, that gives you great footing to both stand your ground and to advance and take back ground you previously lost. And next is his shield of faith, which you discovered must be regularly soaked in the Word and anointed by the Holy Spirit. Then during our last time together, we took a look at the fifth piece of his armor, which is the helmet of salvation. And remember, when you wrap the knowledge of your salvation around your brain and let it protect your mind, you're going to be transformed. You're no longer going to think and talk like someone who is constantly sick. You're no longer going to walk through life like someone who is constantly defeated. Listen, my friend, you are no longer going to think and talk as someone who is poor. This is your helmet of salvation. So, okay, we have his belt of truth, his breastplate of righteousness, his shoes of peace, his shield of faith, and his helmet of salvation. And recall, we need to remember two very important facts about God's spiritual armor. All right, first of all, it is his armor, not yours. It is his. It belongs to him. And secondly, each piece of his armor is a highly effective offensive and defensive weapon. So we've covered the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of peace, the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, and now Paul tells us to pick up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, the sword of the Spirit. And first, what do we know about the Roman sword? Well, actually, the Roman soldier had five swords. He didn't have just one. He had five. The first was what is called the gladius sword. And that was the big, heavy, broad sword, you know, that was sharpened on one side. Next, he had another sword that was shorter and a little bit narrower. Shorter still was a dagger that he carried. Some folks carried a long and slender sword. The cavalry folks had this kind of weapon with them. And then there is the word machaira. And this is the word that we find in Ephesians 6:17 when Paul says, "And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." And this is to say that this is the machaira of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, what is it? What was it? Well, it was about 19 inches long, and it was razor sharp on both sides, and it had an upturned tip on the very end. Listen, my friend, this was a weapon of murder. I'm telling you, a 2-inch penetration and a twist, you're dead. You're dead. The machaira had a pointed tip, and the point was to rip the enemy to shreds. Now, Paul calls this sword, the machaira, the Word of God, okay? And the Greek word that Paul uses here for the Word of God is rhema. Now, the first thing that we need to know about the rhema, Word of God, is that it is not the logos Word of God. It is not the physical written Word of God. It is not the Bible. Now, recall that Paul told us that the Logos Word of God, the belt of truth, well, it is the one piece of armor that we can physically hold. It is the Bible. And just as the soldier's loin belt served as an anchor for all that the Roman soldier carried into battle, well, Paul tells us, so also God's word is the foundation for every other piece of God's spiritual armor that he entrusts into our care. So the first thing that we need to know about the sword of truth, the Rhema word of God, is that it is not the Logos word of God, okay? It is not the written physical word. It is not the Bible. So that's what the sword of God is not, okay? The Word of God is not. So what exactly is it? Well, I mean, what is the Rhema Word of God? What is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God? Well, it is a specific word or message that the Holy Spirit quickens in your spirit and mind at a specific time and for a specific purpose. Yet, Rhema words are both given and supernaturally empowered by the Holy Spirit to enable you to fight the adversary's spiritual, mental, emotional, and physical and financial attacks. You see, it is something spoken clearly. It is spoken vividly, spoken in undeniable language. It is unmistakable, unquestionable. It is certain, and it is definite. It is a quickened word. It is a word of the Lord. It is a scripture or promise, God's promise that drops supernaturally into your mind at just exactly the right time. It is powerful. And when it happens, you know that you have heard a word from the Lord. Now, John 14:26 says, "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you." Okay? He's going to remind us. That's what this is all about. And how can we choose to use the word the Holy Spirit brings to our memory? Well, Hebrews 4:12 tells us, for the word of God is alive and it is active. And it is sharper, listen, sharper than any double-edged sword. And it penetrates even to dividing the soul and the spirit, joints and marrow. You see, my friend, Jesus gained a victory with this sword. And so can we. Now, how so? Well, we need that sharp sword going out of our mouths regularly today, okay? The quickened word of God, the Rhema word of God, is a very, very powerful weapon. So what is the Rhema word of God? I mean, what is the sword of the Spirit? Well, it is a very specific word for a specific time, for a specific purpose. Now, a couple of interesting thoughts about this sword of the Spirit. It was news to me, exciting news. Listen, let me share this with you. First of all, we need to recognize the relationship between the sword and the loin belt, okay? They are inseparable. For the Roman soldier, listen, his shield was clipped to the right side of his loin belt and his sword on the left. And remember, the loin belt, well, it is the written to us, it is the written word of God. It is the Bible and the primary source for a Rhema word of God. Primary source from a Rhema from God. The Bible, my friend, the Bible is that gladius sword. The Rhema is a Machaira. Now, second thing that I thought that was real interesting, it is not, according to the Bible, it is not necessary to know or to memorize the entire Bible in order to have the sword of the Spirit at your disposal. Now, most great men, what we find is that most great men and women of God, who have earned a place in the pages of history, well, they have done so by obeying a simple word from God, okay? Third point. Notice that the sword described by Paul is a Rhema. It is a two-edged sword. Again, does that sound familiar? What about Revelation 1:16? Out of his mouth went a sharp, two-edged sword. You see, a two-edged sword came out of Jesus' mouth. The Greek word means two-mouthed. Okay? One sharpened edge of that sword came into being when the word of God initially proceeded from the mouth of God. And the second edge of that sword is added when the word of God proceeds out of Jesus' mouth and out of your mouth. Don't you begin to see the vital work of studying and memorizing and meditating and praying releases the word to become a part of your own inner being? And by the way, according to the Bible, how do you get in a position to hear from God? Well, you see, your Rhema comes because you have the written word of God at your disposal, in your heart. And remember, the loin belt and the sword, man, they are inseparable. And when the word of God, well, when it gets into your heart and into your mind, that word begins to give you light and direction. It really does. And it does not matter. It will not matter how dark the situation is that you're facing. When this sword of the Spirit comes up from your spirit, it is absolutely going to show you the way to go. Your ability to walk in this kind of supernatural direction and revelation, my friend, is completely determined by how much of God's Word you have inside you. To receive frequent Rhema words from the Lord, you got to have the Logos, the written Word of God, as a central part of your life. Now, you might as well get ready for some testing. Okay, you might as well get ready for some testing. Now, why so? Well, because when you begin to take new territory, or when you begin to take back old territory for the kingdom, well, the devil is going to rise up and he is going to try and stop you. You will know what it is like to be involved in spiritual warfare. Well, when that happens, you are to use the offensive weapons and the defensive weapons that God gives you. In order to guarantee that you have the sword of the Spirit at your hand to answer all the devil's mental thoughts, well, you got to begin today to attach the loin belt of truth firmly to your life. Study the written word, pray over it, memorize it, meditate on it continually, for it is the source, listen, it is the source from which your sword is going to be drawn. My friend, this is the Rhema word of God. This is God's word, his sword of the Spirit, all right? Now next time we're going to take a look at the seventh and final piece of God's spiritual armor that he gives you to pick up and put on. Now, now you may be saying, now, wait a minute, Bob, I thought there were only six pieces of spiritual armor. Well, you and I are going to challenge that thought next time. During our question and answer time together today, let's continue to walk and talk just a little bit more down the path of borrowing and debt, okay? Now recall that we've already discovered that the Bible does not prohibit borrowing, right? Remember that? Now, that being the case, it is also clear that the Lord would have us adopt a debt-free mentality rather than a debt-first mentality. Okay? We good with that foundation? All right, let's build on that then with a question that I am sure is going to really hit home with you. Okay? Here's the question. Bob, I'm from a school of thought that says use other people's money. Use OPM. In other words, borrow to do whatever it is that I need to do. I have to tell you, Bob, it is a hard mentality to shake, even though I now understand that it is contrary to God's word. Plus, I was recently at a meeting in which fundraisers recommended that people in a congregation, in our congregation, borrow to give money to the church building program. Now, that sounds a little bit more reasonable to me than for the church to be borrowing. What do you think? Well, John, very simply, I got to tell you that the idea of using other people's money has been greatly overplayed in our society today. It really has. Now, plus, I do not believe that God would ever direct anyone to borrow to accomplish his work, and that anyone would be to include the church. Now, more specifically, borrowing should never play a part in giving. You see, God always wants us, listen, we should always give what belongs to us, not what belongs to somebody else, okay? I would encourage you, John, listen, I would encourage you not to borrow, even to give money to the church, all right? Good question, short answer, think about it. If you have ever spent more than 30 seconds in the grocery store lately, I'm sure you know that for over the last 12 months, 18 months, 2 years or so, prices on major grocery items like meat and poultry and fish and eggs, man, the prices have really, really gone up. Now, what can we do about that? Well, Clark Howard, who is our consumer advocate from Atlanta, well, he gives us four ways to beat rising grocery prices. Okay, here they are. Four ways. Number one, first way is buy the store brand. You see, my friend, if you grew up in the 1970s, you probably recall that store brands were, man, they were pathetic. They were pitiful. Well, not so much anymore. Not so much anymore. As a matter of fact, quite a few of the larger supermarket chains have invested in their own private labels nowadays. You know, store brands like Walmart's Great Value brand, okay, and Costco's Kirkland Signature. Well, these brands have done much to improve the image of generic items. Now, my wife tells me, and she is the shopper in our family, my wife ensures me that not only has the quality of store brands vastly improved, but store brands typically save you 20 to 30%, all right? So number one way, buy the store brand. Number two, stock up on sale items. Okay, nothing strange here. When my wife goes and she buys non-perishable and semi-perishable items, when she finds that they're on sale, what she does is she's going to buy several, two, three, or four or more, as our budget allows, so that when the price goes back up, well, we're going to be sheltered for a little while because we got them at a lower price. So you buy the store brands, you stock up on sale items. And what about this one? Keep away from buying expensive items. You see, when you get a good deal on one item, that does not mean that you need to turn around and to splurge on something you've always wanted. Now, it sounds simple, but one of the easiest ways to save money when you shop is to resist all of that marketing designed to get you to buy something you really don't need at a price you really can't afford. So don't be tempted to buy the stuff that you don't need. The fourth one is comparison shop. Do not be afraid to play one supermarket chain against another, okay? Pull out your phone and check for prices even while you're in the store shopping. You know, that's the only way you're going to get to know if you're getting the best deal. And here's something else you can do. According to my wife and Clark Howard, Aldi's has absolutely the lowest grocery prices bar none. Now, how do they do that? Well, by primarily stocking its shelves with products from private labels. So what do we do? What same thing you can do. When you can travel to an area that has an Aldi's, man, take a couple of coolers along, all right? So, my friend, some final thoughts here. What we see, no end in sight to rising grocery prices. That means we're going to have to be very careful how we shop, okay, to keep within our budget. So what does Clark Howard and my wife suggest that we do? Take a look at the store brands. Stock up on what's on sale. Don't buy expensive items we don't need. And comparison shop. And remember to try Aldi's. Try Aldi's if you get a chance. Now let's start to wrap up our time together today with one of the highlights of all of our times together. Let's spend a minute with Maxwell as John Maxwell gives us his thoughts on the word thought.
Hi, John Maxwell here. Welcome to Minute with Maxwell, and I want to talk to you about the word thoughts. The first book I wrote was entitled Think on These Things. And it was a book about thinking. When I was in college, I just became intrigued with the subject of thinking. I remember there was a guy named Paul Urich who spoke in chapel one day, and he basically talked about we were what our thoughts would help us to become. And then later on I read that we are today where our thoughts take us, and we will be tomorrow where our thoughts break us and make us. And I just have always understood the value of thoughts. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So here's what I want to encourage you to do. Every day, take 5 minutes of thought time. Literally, every day. You're not watching TV. You're not talking to anybody. You're not reading anything. You're just quietly sitting with your legal pad and your pen, and you're thinking. I would encourage you to write down quotes and thoughts. Use those for springboards for your thinking. Because I think that leaders have a bias for action, but I think their action would be better if they spent a little bit more time thinking. I'm glad you're with me today on Minute with Maxwell.
Wow, now that's yet another great teaching from John Maxwell. And what I hear him saying is that it is so important for us to be aware of our thoughts and to take control of them. You see, your financial thoughts can literally make or break your finances. Thoughts are incredibly powerful. So if finances are an issue in your life, why not spend some time thinking about your finances? More specifically, why not go back and rethink? Think about again the two terms, the most important financial principles in all of God's Word, the principles of wealth and stewardship. And remember, the three most important keys to learning anything, to including to learn about what the Bible has to say about your money, the three most important keys: review, review, review. So why not take some time to go back and review? Think about what it is you already know about what God has to say about how to handle your money. Okay, well, that just about wraps up our time together today. It's been a good time together today. Where have we been? Well, recall we started out by taking a look at the sixth piece of God's financial spiritual armor, which is the sword of the Spirit. And we discovered that it is the two-edged sword that came out of Jesus' mouth during his battle with the devil, and it is the same two-edged sword the Holy Spirit can use to come out of your mouth, right? If you prayerfully make sure your belt of truth is firmly in place. Remember, the Rhema Word of God is the Holy Spirit anointed Word. It is the saturated Word of God that you choose to make a priority in your life. Now, next time we're going to cover the seventh and last piece of armor, and you say, now, wait a minute, Bob, my Bible says there are only six pieces of armor. Wrong. We'll talk about it next time, okay? Now, and then during our Q&A time together, recall that God always gives us what it is that we need to do whatever it is he calls us to do. My friend, nowhere in the Bible do we ever find that God expected anyone to borrow to accomplish God's will. Nowhere in the Bible, including, by the way, borrowing to give to the church. We found out from Clark Howard some good thoughts on how to be a little bit more effective in our grocery shopping. Remember, we talked about opting for store brands. We talked about stocking up on what's for sale. You know, what's on sale. Buy a couple more of it if it is within your budget. Don't buy those things that you don't need and most often can't afford. Just don't go there. And comparison shop whenever you can. And part of comparison shopping would be to check in with Aldi's, okay? All right. And then finally, well, we just ended up with John Maxwell reminding us of how critically important it is for us to use the mind that God gives us. He gives us the mind of Christ. He gives it to us. It is his gift to us. It is our responsibility to steward it, to manage it, to use it. Okay? It is important for us to take the time to stop and prayerfully think before we take action, any action, including financial action. My friend, thank you so much for being with us again today. And as we close, just before we pray, remember to check out our website at www.christianfinancialministries.org. Now, as we end up our time together today, let's close the way that we always close, and that is to close in prayer. Father God, I thank you for bringing us together again today, and for teaching us, giving us the things that it is that we need to hear so that what we hear can get into our minds and into our hearts and work out into our lives. Thank you for teaching us. Thank you for each of the days to come where you teach us more. All to your glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Now, Have a blessed rest of your day, won't you? And we're going to see you next time as we continue down your personal road to financial freedom, God's way.